SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
We're sitting with one of the greatest, not only defenders in the National Football League, but players in the National Football League. 17 seasons. That's a lot of football.
11 Pro Bowl years, too.
11 Pro Bowls. And then inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2009. Legend, Rod Woodson.
I appreciate it, man.
Head coach as well, too. Head coach as well.
Head coach.
Of an XFL franchise that's building new, building. What's it like to be part of an upstart, even though it's been here before?
3.0. XFL 3.0.
This is the
one that's going to stick.
We gotta hope it's a charm. I was hoping it's a charm. But it's really a great opportunity. And, you know, if you ever coached in anything, be it Little League, you always want to be the head guy, right? You always want to be that dude, like the head coach. Right, it doesn't really matter. You might not say it out loud, but you kind of want to be that dude. And then when I was given the opportunity back in last September, you know, they came out and we were talking to the higher-ups. They said they were going to bring it back. And I'm like, you know, in a perfect world, this is a perfect setting because I can – work with the XFL, still have my own foundation, which is Hope Through Football, and really give back to these young guys. Because really it's about them. I mean, I've lived my life, man. I don't need to do a whole bunch of more. But giving these guys opportunity. And everybody I have on my coaching staff, I got to bring my own coaching staff together. You know, my coaching staff, we got rules. And one rule is don't be an a-hole. Second rule is care about the players.
Mm.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to not be a-holes to each other, to the players, but we're going to care about the players more than being an athlete.
That was one of the questions I had for you. How do you put together a staff at this stage?
I mean, it's, you know, I got some old heads who just know ball, you know, the foundation of football, how to get it out of the guys who've been around for a while.
Yep.
So I got Bob Wiley, Ray Sherman.
Oh, love him.
You know, I've known Ray since I've been 17 years old. He
really?
Was at Purdue before I got there. So he was one of the reasons I went to Purdue.
Wow.
You know, he was just the good dude.
Should have been a head coach.
Should have been a head coach, having those opportunities. But the staff I put together is kind of a really good blend of older guys and younger guys. I got a female on my staff.
There you go.
As my linebacker coach. I got a foreigner. I got a guy, a Franco, who lives in the UK but was born in Mexico. He's our quality control guy. So I got a good blend of individuals together, but they all care about football.
Right.
And they all care about the players. And that's the end of the day. I want guys who can work together, who don't have egos, who can put that stuff aside and care about the players.
Right.
And at the end, I think we did that. I think I did a good job of putting those guys together. And it's going to be fun. We're excited about it.
Yeah. So, you know, football, coaching, highest level, television, and now XFL, right? Like you said, you know, it's about the guys now. You've had a lot of experiences in a lot of different spaces. My question for you is, did you recruit the XFL or did they recruit you?
They recruited me. I didn't even know they were coming back.
Really?
And then I get a text from one of the higher-ups.
Why are you saying higher ups?
Well, because I don't want to put names. I don't want to put names.
You mean The Rock?
No, I didn't know Dwayne like that.
You know? Have you met him yet?
I met Dwayne. Yes, I met Dwayne.
Is he
I met
a
Dwayne
nice
guy? And Danny Garcia, his ex-wife, who are owners. And then I have not met the head of Redbird Capital, Jerry. I have not met him yet.
Right.
But, you know, meeting those individuals, I got a text from Doug Whaley, who's a part of the personnel with the XFL. And Doug is an old school guy from Pittsburgh. He's with the Steelers when I was there as a player. And when he texts me, I'm like, I mean, what does Doug want, man? Like, I mean, Doug ain't texting me in a minute.
Right.
You know, so what does he want? And I called him and he was like, hey man, we're doing this, you know, we're part of the XFL, it's coming back. And I'm like, what? It's coming back? And then he's like, yeah, we want to come out and fly out to Vegas and talk to you. So him, Mark Ross and Russ Brandon all came out. So some of the higher ups that came out for the that side. And I'm like, you know, asked a couple questions, and I said, you know, listen, in a perfect world, this is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for me to still coach, because that's what I love. I love ball. I love coaching to the grassroots level, giving back to what was given to me from all of my really good coaches that I've been around,
right.
My old school head football players that I've been around who kind of taught me how to be not just a football player, but be a man.
Right.
How to be a true man. And I was like, yeah. And then, but in the back of my mind, I was still like, yeah, I said, yeah, but is this thing really going to work? And like, it's not going to work until I get a contract. I know right. that. And then a couple months later, I got a contract, signed the contract, and, you know, got to have the opportunity to start getting my own personnel guys and all my own people to come in who kind of think like I do in that aspect. And I think, like I said, I think I got a good staff, but it was one of those guys that they called me, and I'm glad they did. You know, God works in mysterious ways, man. He puts people together when he wants, when he knows it's your time.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm more mature now than I've ever been in my life.
Right.
And they gave me this opportunity.
We're here talking with Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer. And it's funny that I can mention Hall of Famer because now that you're in, you can hold the standard like Deion did. I don't know if you've heard his recent comments where he said that the Hall of Fame, it seems to be getting a little bit watered down where everybody's getting in now. What is your perspective on Deion's comments?
Yeah, I don't like to disparage guys who got in, you know, but I will say this. When I came in, and football has been played for over 100 years now. So when I came in 2009, I was the 253rd individual who was inducted into the Hall of Fame. But since my time frame of being in, from 09 to 22, there's been 135 more guys, 140 more guys been put in. It's a lot of guys, man.
Right.
So in a way, you know, think about, you know, we had the century mark. I think it was a century team or something like that with 20 guys. Is 20 guys really, because it's really supposed to be the best of the best of the best of the best who ever played. And when they mention your, when they talk about generations, they have to say your name inside of that sentence. That's a Hall of Famer. There's been a lot of great players who played a long time that, I mean, I think of some of the guys who are in now, I think a lot of guys can now be in the Hall of Fame. So I understand what Deion's saying. I'm just not a person to disparage of what they are. I mean, at the end of the day, if we were voters, then we can really say our mark.
Right.
Right. I can say no.
Why are you not voters, though? This is a process that doesn't make any sense to me.
That's something that you would have to take with the Hall of Fame. Remember, the Hall of Fame has nothing to do with the National Football League.
Yeah.
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they have their individual way of doing it, and they've been doing it for so long. And they can't get away from it.
No, why can't they?
Yeah.
They could, but they can't because they like the structure that has been there for so long. And I'm not a real fan of it. I think we do have two voters, but both those voters, I think James Lofton's one. I think Dan Fouts is one.
Okay.
But they're part of the media now.
Right.
So they see him as a ex-player, but media too.
Right. But do you feel it's fair that the media serves as the gatekeepers for what are the legends of the game?
I do not. I believe Art Modell should be in the Hall of Fame. Art Modell was the only owner that was a part of the merger of the AFL and the NFL that's not in the Hall of Fame. And the only reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is because he moved his team. Mm. Everybody moves their team.
Right.
And there's one guy who has a lot of sway in that room who's keeping him out, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Who's that guy?
I can't remember the gentleman's
name.
I really don't. I don't remember the gentleman. I do have it written down on my phone.
Trying to get Rod Woodson to be messy.
I have it in my phone, but I don't have it. When I see him.
Can we get Rod Woodson's phone, please?
when I see him in person,
right.
Oh, I'm going to call him out.
Really?
I'm going to call him out. But I said it in my speech that Art Modell belongs there.
Right.
You know, people boo me, and I'm like, hey, you know what? The truth don't always feel good.
Right.
Let's get on to some of the current players of today's game. You were one of the elite defensive backs in the NFL. Who is your top five defensive back today?
I hate rating guys.
Oh, you don't have to rate them one through five.
I'm gonna get social media
right.
Quick.
That's right. But you're tough. You played in Pittsburgh. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh. You know, we're tough there, so you can handle it.
I could take. I mean, the truth does hurt sometimes. It stings, right? It doesn't always feel good. I tell my kids that all the time. Some of the really good ones, and I'm not putting them in order. All right, so we have. Let's go with first corner Buffalo White. I thought he was tremendous. I know he was hurt last year, but he's a nice little player. I didn't think he was going to be that good, to be honest.
Right, right.
And you know, because speed doesn't always equate to being really good in the pros. But he just became a really good corner outside of his pure speed. Good fundamentals, good transition,
right.
Good eyes, always in good position at the receiver to interception rate, all that stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, he's one of those guys. Let me see. I always like big play Slay. You know, that's been my dude.
Yeah.
Darius Slay. Darius Slay's been my dude for a while. Guy that's really humble. A lot of guys didn't think he was going to be a great player when he came out. But just one of those guys that has just been there and done it for quite a long time. So you have to love that. What's my man? I'm losing his name. What's my man up there with the Rams?
Jalen.
Yeah, Jalen.
You forgot his name?
I know Jalen. I mean, I just couldn't remember his name on top of my head. But Jalen's a player at Florida State.
I just want to say thank you for giving us a headline. And it's right, bulletin board material. You know, Jake, like, what? The disrespect.
Hey. No, but I've loved Jalen since he was at Florida State when I graded him when he was coming out. One of those players, just, man, he's so talented that he makes plays. Just off pure, pure talent, he makes plays. So I love Jalen. I love James, safety with the Chargers. Man, that dude, real deal.
I hope
he stays healthy.
Right,
because when he's healthy, he's a difference maker for their football
team. Derwin James.
I mean, Derwin is just—he was like that in college. You know, he came out. He's been banged up a little bit, so we've never really seen like the. Even though he's been a Pro Bowler, I don't think we've ever seen like the best version of him.
Right,
because he hasn't been healthy for extended period.
That's right.
I think if he's healthy this year and stays healthy, man, a dude is he's a real dude. Right. He's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good person.
Right.
And that's hard to find. So the combination of the two is really hard to find. I'm trying to think. So I was four. Let me think of my last one. You know, Lattimore down in with the Saints. Lattimore. Mm. The last one is kind of between Lattimore and Minka, right? Fitzpatrick with the Steelers, right? The safety. I don't think Minka had his best season last year, and I would think if he's grading himself really hard, he would say the same thing. Same thing with Lattimore. Two different positions, though, right?
Yes.
You got a free safety who's in the middle of the field, and you got a guy that's playing on the island. I think they have different skill sets, but I like both those guys. What I love about Minka is that when he came in to Pittsburgh, he kind of changed the mindset again on the defensive side because for so many years since Troy has retired, mm-hmm. there was nobody back there making plays on the ball.
That's right.
And he started making plays on the ball, and the rest of the guys said, we could do that?
Yeah.
That's legal?
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's go do that. And he really changed the culture again on the back end, where Lattimore is just one of those guys, just pure dog outside.
That's right.
Take the best receiver man-to-man and play him down the field.
It's interesting that you say that because Asante Samuels, which we had on I Am Athlete, he sparked up this big debate about – do you prefer a cornerback or a defensive back who gets the ball, or you do prefer the guy who shadows somebody and locks them down?
Who has more value? I want both. Can we get both?
So basically, let's highlight it, right? You know, yourself, Dion, even Zont, y'all turned the ball over, right? And then you look at Jalen. He mentioned Darrell Revis. The standard to get in the Hall of Fame is turn the ball over, pick the ball.
Get the rock.
Right.
You know, the really good the Hall of Famers did both.
Yes.
They shadowed.
They should.
They shadowed and they got the rock. Mm. Right. So the mindset of a player, you really want a guy that when the ball's in the air, when they was throwing, I'm covering a guy, the ball's in the air, that's my rock. Mm-hmm. I know he threw it to the receiver. That's mine though. And I'm going to set him up as such. You know, so I always tell guys, like, if you do one thing and you only do one thing when you're doing one thing, they know you only do one thing. They
right.
know it.
Right, right.
So if you only press when you play man, that's to the offensive advantage.
Right.
But now if you press bail, stop, and cover two, play cover two from 8 yards off. Yeah. So, but now you got to have coaches who allow you to do things like that, which I was really blessed to have when I was in Baltimore, in Pittsburgh, that they allow you to do those type of things. But then you create, now I can say, okay. And, you know, I really was a safety who transitioned to corner when I got to the pros. When I ran my 40 at the combine, they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to run. You're going to play corner. But then when I got to move back to safety my last 5 years, I think I had like 27, 28, 30 interceptions in my last five years.
Easy. Was it easy?
It was easier. But then again, it was easier because I knew what the backer was doing, what the D-line should do, where the corner is going to be. But then I can mess with that quarterback. Instead of being in the middle of the field, I'm going to modify my post, and I'm going to be on the backside hash looking at number three.
Right.
And then, you know, if number three is going to run a seam, he doesn't run a straight seam. He always runs a seam away from the other safety because right. the other safety on the other side. So he's going to bend it back toward me anyway. So you play those little games and understanding what the quarterback is going to do, and that's how you get the rock.
Right.
And as Tony Dungy used to tell me my rookie year, if you catch the ones that come to you, you'll lead the league.
Right. So who was the best at it? You, Ed Reed, Polamalu? And who? Am I missing anyone?
I think the younger guys, I don't think any of those guys are going to be having as many interceptions as we've had. If you look at where they're at right now in their careers and how many interceptions they have right now, they would have to get a boatload of interceptions last 5 or 6 or 7 years that they're going to be in the league to get to the point where we're at. What Ed has done from throughout, same thing kind of like what I have done throughout, and even Troy, is that you just kind of see the game in a different way. And you got to have filters.
Right.
Because coaches can take away your natural ability.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? They can. You got to be in the middle of the field. You can't leave until the long arm. Long arm? I cannot run no football.
Right.
So if you do that, you know, if you have those filters where you hear the coach, but in your head, you're shaking, yeah. But in your head, you're saying, no, I ain't doing that.
You know, the part of coaching that I really struggle with is when they see an elite player, someone like you and Ed or a receiver, Jerry Rice, whatever, and you have a feel for the game, and they try to start teaching that. Oh, you see how he did that? Let me teach you how he did that. No, that's just natural. That's a feel. You can't teach that.
Yeah,
they start putting drills in place.
Yeah, it's just... The great thing, to me, coaching is about teaching the guys the fundamentals of the game, but making the game simple, like breaking your fractions down to a prime number, right? I mean, that to me
that
is like making
it simple at all. Yeah.
It was easy.
fractions to the prime number.
But you really, I mean, you're trying to break that down, right? So you're trying to make the game like, a guy who taught me the game by reading, like understanding defenses or offenses, is a guy named Rod Russ. He asked me, how many formations can an offense get into? Mm-hmm. It's my third year in the league. I was like, oh, frick, coach, it's 500? I don't know. He was like, how many eligible receivers? I said, five. They can get in five formations. I was like, what? He was like, yeah. They can get in pro, right? You got two receivers, one receiver, two back, which nobody runs anymore, right? They can get in slot. So back in the day, everybody would get in slot and put the speed on one side. And then when you did that, you always had a dual number or did something different on the speed side. When they're in one back, there's only two formations, 2x2 or 3x1. They can't man anything else, right? Irrelevant of the personnel groupings and empty. And he said what offenses do is they'll put different personnel groupings in, move different pieces around, stop at a certain place, be it a condensed or wide, and they only run so many plays out of that. And we were going through film. It was me and him in the room for like 4 or 5 weeks. And like week four, cling, that green light clicked on. I was like, oh, you got that's all they do? He's like, that's all they do, Rod.
Right.
He said, all you got to do is believe it when you see it. I said, oh, I don't got a problem with that one right there. I'm going to go try to get that thing.
Wow.
And it just clicked in, and I see the game through pure formations, irrelevant of the personnel groupings. So if I was playing you and it was a 3x1, and every time it was a 3x1, you ran a hitch because they ran a certain thing in that situation, You better not run that hitch.
You know it.
I'm coming to get that. Now, if you double move me, you got me. Yeah. Which I've been got.
Right.
I've been got. But as Dick LeBeau would say, the bear going to get you.
Right.
You get the bear. As long as you get the bear long more than he gets you, you playing good football. Right.
My last question I have for you, who was the bear when it came to the wide receiver position?
Oh, man.
Who was your bear? Or bears.
I say there's two guys when I played that gave me issues. Webster Slaughter for the Cleveland Browns, because he was 5'10"-ish, 5'11", really quick, and create separation off the break. And then Andre Reed came in. Mm-hmm. And Andre was that slot receiver in that K-gun. And, you know, Andre's a big slot receiver.
Big slot.
And he was bigger than the normal guys that was in the slot. So I would get my hands on them little dudes, like, you ain't going nowhere. And I remember first time coming up to Andre, I like hit him and he slapped my hand down. And I was like, oh shoot. I gotta change my game plan with this one. I just gotta run with this dude.
Yeah.
I can't try to be physical with him because he's gonna be physical back.
Right.
So those two guys, you know, the guys I had to play like almost every single year made me really think about how I was gonna play them.
Right, it's good, it's good.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, good luck to you, man, building the team.
Man, I'm proud of you, man. You're doing some good things down here.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, man.
Let's go. I am Athlete Tonight, 17 seasons.
Jalen, I love you, though.
Name, headline. Headline.
I Am Athlete Tonight presents Countdown to Kickoff.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Duzbal, with my squad, Auntie Chantel and LaShawn Shady McCoy. Shout out to the NFL on Sirius XM Radio for that clip of Cooper Kupp's touchdown reception, game-winning touchdown reception in the Super Bowl for Matt Stafford. And that was also Sean McVay talking about the confidence the Rams have this year, how they won't be distracted, courtesy of Sirius XM training camp tour. And it's time for our Countdown to Kickoff segment now. In our Countdown to Kickoff segment, we really hone in, lock in on one team as we look forward to the opening kickoff in the 2022 NFL season. And the first game of the season happens to be the Buffalo Bills versus the Los Angeles Rams, kicking off next Thursday. The team that we're talking about today is the Super Bowl champs, the Los Angeles Rams. You heard Sean McVay, he's their head coach, one of the best coaches in the game. Matt Stafford, man, you know, for a long time, must malign with the Detroit Lions. You know, the talent that he had, it wasn't seen by the nation. Well, he goes to La La Land, and in his first year, wins the Super Bowl, threw for over 4,800 yards, 41 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Cooper Kupp was a triple crown winner last year at the receiver position, right? Led the league in receptions, 145, and yards, receiving over 1,900 yards and receiving touchdowns with 16. Odell Beckham was there last year. He ended up getting hurt, turns ACL in the Super Bowl. So in free agency, the Rams brought in Allen Robinson, a Pro Bowl receiver. He should really help, you know, Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp as well on the offensive side. Van Jefferson is a young receiver they took, I believe, in the second round a few years ago. He had surgery in camp, may not be ready for week one. We'll see what his status is. Tyler Higbee is a really good tight end. They really like him in the red zone. Cam Akers came back from a torn Achilles last year, right? Gave the offense some juice, right? The physicality aspect of the offense played really well. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I know he's been banged up in camp a little bit, but I'm looking forward to seeing him a whole season with the Sean McVay offense. The offensive line, right? They lost Andrew Whitworth, who has been a Pro Bowl at left tackle. You know, there's been rumors that he could potentially come back, not for the Rams, but the Cowboys. You know, because they lost their left tackle and Tyron Smith. Rob Habenstein is a really good right tackle. And Joe Noteboom, who replaced Andrew Whitworth, is a really good left tackle for them. They paid him this offseason. Brian Allen is a pretty good center. Shady McCoy, do the Rams have what it takes to repeat as Super Bowl champions this year?
I'm not sure about Super Bowl champs. You know, I just think this is getting a chance to get there. Right, it's like playoffs. Getting the playoffs gets a good seating, and then once you get there, who knows what can happen. I mean, they got the pieces, right? They added some good pieces. They lost some, but they gained some. I think Allen Robinson is going to be a great pickup for them.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know. But then you lose Von Miller, right?
We're talking about the defense in a little bit, yeah.
So we'll see. It's a tough one. I think that they will has a high seating in the playoffs. So they'll do good this year. I'm not sure if they'll repeat.
Yeah, we're talking about
that's hard to do.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, and I said it in the intro when we're doing this segment. You know, much maligned in Detroit, right? always threw for a ton of yards. I don't even believe had a playoff win in Detroit. Comes to the Rams, and then when year one wins the Super Bowl, can Matt Stafford potentially take another step this year and reach a whole nother level at the quarterback position? Shady?
Oh, you asking me? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
my bad.
Yeah, I think Matt Stafford can do well. Listen, when he came there last year, I was happy for him because I knew the type of potential he really has. It just needed a team. You know, come on, who wins with the Detroit Lions? It's been a terrible culture for years. So he got out of there. He got with McVay. They got to the Rams, man. They've been winning since. I think he has a shot. I think he'll be super good this year. A lot of talent, you know, and he has a chip on the shoulder. Like, I won a championship, and y'all still try to knock me.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens. And he got Cooper Kupp. I mean, let's not forget that.
No, 100%. Again, triple crown winner last year. Auntie, I talked about Odell Beckham, you know, being hurt. He's still a free agent currently right now. There's, you know, Sean McVay has been vocal about wanting to bring him back. Should the Rams pursue him and bring him back?
Auntie? I would. Yeah. I would. You know, this isn't – he looked totally different in a Rams uniform than when he played for the Browns. Like, his swag was a little different. Even Odell Beckham, one of the cockiest players in the league, his swag was a little bit off in Cleveland, but everybody's swag is off in Cleveland. But, you know, if Allen Robinson, I think, is a great pickup. You know, I hate to say it, you know, with TJ Watt on my favorite squad, but, you know, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in the league. And then you can't forget, you lost Von Miller, but you brought in Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the defense, you know, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, what it comes down to me, dudes, you know, being the first team, what, the Patriots were the last to repeat 20 years ago, back in 2003. And the only team ever to do it twice was the Steelers. And if you look at that Steelers team, if you look at the Bills team, I mean, the Belichick team, it was always great leaders. And so they had great leadership. And so I think it's going to depend on Matthew Stafford. We're talking about offense and Coach McVay, you know, if they can extend the kind of leadership that this team needs, because there's a lot more pressure repeating, right, than it is winning that first one. And it's hard enough getting to that first one. And so, you know, I think it's going to come down to that. But they, you know, Odell Beckham wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. Wouldn't hurt the Rams. So I think you go get him.
This is
I got one question though.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Shady.
Do your IM athlete thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, and I'll reset after.
Hey, honestly, real quick, who you think is better though? I'm just asking.
Go ahead.
Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham. Just curious of your thoughts. Ooh. Who you think is better?
Ooh.
I like Odell.
No, you like him like he's better, or you like him? Just,
I think Odell's a better player.
Allen Robinson is real, bro.
He is. But you know what? I think
I don't think it's close.
It's subjective. You know, I think it's Odell's been doing it for so long. You know, Allen's going to be a great.
A-Rob been doing it for a while, too, though.
Allen's going to be a great.
And he's been doing it with a bad quarterback. Quarterback.
Shady, weren't they in the same draft class?
That's
my ass.
Shady. Stop Odell Beckham Jr.
Like, just thank you.
Shady, I'm not trying. Is that the boss man?
Odell's good, but like Allen Robinson. So I'm just saying, if Allen Robinson was there, right, and then they signed Odell Beckham, who's the number two?
I think it's Allen Robinson, to be honest.
Easy, Allen Robinson.
That's not how modern football works, guys. It's not like that. Bro. Back in the day, when you first got in the league, here's the number one, here's the number two. Obviously, the bulk.
Right, I'm done. He's not first of all. He's not on this set today. I don't want to hear this taunt. Us like we don't know football. Like, what are you talking about? There's not a number ones, number twos nowadays.
Can I explain?
What
I'm saying is this: now, to make a really good team, you got to have three pass catchers. And now it's not about like
back
at TOs and other world. Even I'll put myself in there. Give me the ball. Me.
Right.
Now it's, look, I'm dropping back and I'm going through my progressions. So, yes, Cooper Kupp, I'm coming.
It's not like that. It's not like that.
Yes, it is.
Look, Brandon.
It's not true.
Brandon, I'm on your team. Look, at the end of the day, last year I brought up, you know, you got to bring up the stats. Odell Beckham more receptions, more yards per reception.
He was playing with Justin Fields. That longer, ain't fair, Auntie.
At the end of the day, longest reception, that don't matter who it's with, and 20-plus yards and more touchdowns, period. Like, the stats don't lie. I don't care who
this man, Allen Robinson, was going over 1,000 with Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, but
and Auntie at quarterback.
Who throwing to? Who else were they? Well, if I was at quarterback, he'd be at about 15 touchdowns. Don't sleep on Auntie's arm, Shady.
Auntie, let me be clear here. I'm not picking. I'm not saying, you know, Allen Robinson is better or Odell Beckham's better, because Shady's right. And, like, Allen Robinson is that guy.
He is.
His Duval days, when he's playing for the Jaguars, like, he was low key pushing to be top 10 wide receiver. But again, system, play callers, all of that, quarterbacks, he didn't have it, right? And then, like dude said, he was in Chicago. He was hiding in Chicago. I don't know what they was thinking, not really getting him the ball. He is that guy. So I don't want people to sleep on Allen Robinson. Are you sleeping?
I think Odell Beckham is a good player. Don't get me wrong. I just think that Allen Robinson, I think right now he's better, right? And then real quick, Cooper Kupp is a number one. He's going to get the ball. I don't know what Brandon's talking about. All this
boy had 145 receptions.
Yeah, like, what's he talking? Like, listen.
What I said, you
real quick. No. Let me tell you something, brother, right? Guys like Cooper Kupp is a number one. He's going to demand the ball.
But
Adams.
But he's saying number one last year, right? Wasn't he the number one?
Well,
they didn't even try to give him the ball last year.
But he was still number one.
I mean, Justin Fields
was
like
number two. And still had better yards. Look, at the end of the day, look, we can agree to disagree. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you for showing up, Brandon. Now you can go.
Yeah, he definitely get out of here, because he be wrong so much, and then he talks like all calm and like all slow. Listen, guys. Like, I don't want to hear none of that, man.
Like, I'm not saying somebody's right or somebody's
who's
wrong.
The number one receiver for the Steelers? Auntie knows.
Deontay Johnson. It's not even
He's going to get the ball.
But Auntie, Shady, dudes, that's not what I was saying. I'm not saying that there isn't a number one, but what I'm basically, the best offense, right, approach nowadays is having three guys that can get the ball and be the number one any given Sunday. Right, so of course Cooper.
Brandon. When you talk, whoever's going to play good that game, we'll take that. Yeah, like the tight end's going to do the best that game, we'll take that. Like if the running back is the second backup, if the Cowboys Pollard's doing better than Zeke, we're going to feed him more. Like, so I don't get what you're trying to say. Whoever's a hot hand, I'm taking
you into the psyche of a wide receiver. Back then, it was psyche like, no, I'm the number one. I'm the number two. You know, I need to get the ball.
Well, when you was the number two against Eric Decker, how did that work out?
Oh, God.
Damn.
Oh, my God. I'm pushing this conversation forward. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lishe Doosbull, with my squad, LaShawn Shady McCoy, Auntie Chantel, and the boss man, Brandon Marshall. We talked about the Rams offense. Now let's talk about the defense. They have the best player in the NFL, right? Deep tackle and Aaron Donald. A'shaun Robinson is really good against the run. He's a beast against the run. They lost Von Miller. We talked about that, LaShawn Shady McCoy. And I think that was a massive loss for them. Leonard Floyd is a really good, you know, outside linebacker that can get to the quarterback. But replacing Von Miller is going to be tough. They did add Bobby Wagner in the middle. Now, that's a big upgrade for them as far as a quarterback of the defense, a guy that's, you know, been a perennial Pro Bowler year in and year out. Ernest Jones is a really good young linebacker. He'll be next to Bobby Wagner. One of the best corners in Jalen Ramsey. Nick Scott and Taylor Rapp make a really good combination at the safety position. And also, Troy Hill is a solid corner. LaShawn Shady McCoy, what will have a bigger impact, the addition of Bobby Wagner or the loss of Von Miller?
I think Bobby Wagner, right? I think a team that the Rams struggle against for last, what, 2-3 years? San Fran. What do they do?
Run that pill.
They run that pill. So now, right, you get rid of the edge rusher that wants to get sacks all day, and you go get you a Bobby Wagner. What's he do? He plugs that middle. He stops that run. So I like that addition to the team. I think that's a great pickup because, you know, football is all about your divisional games. You see them twice a year. That's what you draft for, right? You pitch your team around the guys in your division. So I like that move. I truly do.
Quick question, because we've had this debate, Shady, and, you know, people have given Jalen Ramsey the number one corner spot in the league. I don't have him as my number one guy. Do you believe he's the best corner in the league?
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's your number one?
X-Man.
What? Then Jalen Ramsey?
Xavier Howard?
Yeah, he's nice, but he ain't Jalen Ramsey.
They asked this dude to take away the number one guy week in and week out. The year after my guy, Steph Gilmore, won Defensive Player of the Year, he should have won it that following year. I think he had 9 or 10 picks playing against the number one receiver week in and week out, Rod Woodson. We just heard the interview, right? He wants a guy that can do both. Well, he can do both. He can take the ball away from you, and he's going to take away the best receiver. Jalen Ramsey, they move him around in that Rams defense. You watch film like me, right? He's not always taking the number one guy.
But why are they moving around? They move around to get more. Okay, so last year, right? See, I do my homework. So last year they talked about how they were saying he don't really follow that much.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, they don't throw to me, right? He said, so for us to get him more involved, we started having him blitzing, having him playing in a slot, having him playing outside. He was playing everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. We want our second best defensive player around the ball. He gets turnovers from picks. He strips you. He tackles. Like, he does everything. So
X-Man does all that too.
I don't see him tackling and blitzing and all that. I don't see none of that.
You know why? Because he takes away the number one receiver.
But wait, he is nice though, so I'm not going to take nothing away from him. I just think when I look at a dude like Jalen Ramsey, he's everywhere on the field, bro. He makes his presence known.
That Super Bowl, he got kind of exposed.
So how? I mean, bro, see this. You know what the thing is? When you're such a good player, right? I always have this argument with a couple players when I was with the Bucks. We were talking about it was the Devin White, and we were talking about Kamara, right? And I was like, yo, at the best, if we're both the best, I'm going to beat you, you're going to beat me. It can't be you just beating me the whole game.
Yeah, I get you saying that.
You see what I'm saying? Yo, yeah. Patrick Wilson was a super dog. He's probably the best defensive player I played against as a linebacker. Yeah. He got me, I got him. That's what the best is supposed to do against each other.
Yeah.
When I watch Jalen Ramsey, he usually dominates, but okay. Jamar Chase got with him. That happens. This is elite level. Like, Jamar Chase is the real deal. He's the best rookie I've ever seen.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So, come on. So, give me some slack.
What about Randy Moss' rookie year?
Randy Moss is a freaking... he's like the greatest. You know what I mean? I'm saying, from my eyes watching, he's the best rookie I've ever seen. That's just me, what I've seen.
Nah, he nice. He nice. I get what you're saying there. I'm just saying, like, I think... when you're asked to take away the number one guy, knowing that, you know, if they feel like your receivers are true number one, they're going to, you know, feed him the ball. You're taking away half the field. Like that, bro, that takes like years away from your career, right? We saw Revis do it. We saw the list of guys that he take, you know, strapped up and took out. And, you know, you guys had Asante Samuels on. He was like, he don't take the ball away enough. And I'm like, bro, they don't throw it to Revis to take the ball away.
That's what come on, man. Like a million people hit me up about that episode. And for you to think that Darrell Revis ain't great because he don't get no picks is mind blowing.
I love Zon. You know, he went to UCF, but me and him have argued about
Zon's
that.
Zon's a beast.
Yeah, me and him have argued about that Revis discussion multiple times. That's my argument with X-Man. Like he'll take the ball away, but he's still taking away the number one guy, right? And honestly, we talked about this before too, Shady. Like, nobody can stop Tyreek Hill. I think he's had the best game against Tyreek out of every other corner in this league.
I mean,
what you mean?
Listen, bro. This is my thing, though. Like, if I'm so dominant, right? And this is my question.
Yeah.
Will I keep throwing at you? Like,
yeah, but this, teams don't throw at him because they got Byron Jones on the other side. They throw at him. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I still got him as my number one guy.
I don't want to argue about it because I do think that X-Man is super nice, so it's hard to really go against him because I like his game. But I just think that if we're talking about the most dominant corner right now that does everything, it's got to be Jalen Ramsey, bro.
We're going to have to agree
and then it's a dude in Buffalo.
Tre'Davious is nice. Yeah.
No. It's a dude in Buffalo that gets busy on offense. Diggs, he gets busy on offense. Do X-Man be guarding him all the time?
He do, except for when they put him in the slot. And even sometimes then, he still guards him.
Okay, so, well, I'm watching this year. I'm watching.
Yeah, please do. I'm watching too. So, Auntie, who do you think is the most important piece?
And Auntie, you should always agree with me because I'll be right like 96 per time.
I'm just trying to get a word in.
I'm coming to you, Auntie. Who do you think is the most important piece on this team? Whether it's, you know, coach, position group, player for them to actually have success and maybe repeat this year?
I already said it. It's Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Is if they can provide the leadership. You know, I think they have the talent. I do agree with Nephew about Bobby Wagner. You know, you can have a great, amazing defensive line, right? And I mean, look at the Steelers, amazing defensive line, and our linebackers are trash. And so we last in the league in run defense. And so, you know, you play a team like San Fran and you get gashed up the middle because you don't have any great linebackers. And so I think Bobby Wagner is going to bring some swag there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, can they handle the pressure? I mean, like I said, it's always harder to repeat than it is to get that first one. And so, you know, what kind of leadership, you know, will Sean McVay bring, and which I think he will, and Matthew Stafford. And so I think that's ultimately what's going to, you know, because players are going to play, period. I mean, you're the best in the world. You're considered the best in the world. You're coming to play. It's how you're being led. So that's what I think. Thanks for letting me talk.
I got you, Auntie. Let's go ahead and push this conversation forward. John Wall says he dealt with suicidal thoughts the past 2 years. Now, Clippers John Wall has spoke publicly about the struggles he's faced in recent years. Wall spoke of having suicide thoughts in an interview at a Salvation Army event hosted by his organization. Take a listen to what John Wall had to say about what he's dealt with the last 2 years.
What have the last two and a half years been like for you?
Darkest place I've ever been in. I mean, at one point in time, I thought about committing suicide. I mean, just tearing my Achilles, my mom being sick, my mom passing, my grandma passed a year later. All this in the midst of COVID at the same time. Me going to the chemotherapy and sitting in there. Me seeing my mom take her last breath, wearing the same clothes for the 3 days straight, laying on the couch beside her. You know what I mean? Like, all those sacrifices, not having a great support family behind me, my team, the mother of my kids has been great. My two boys is my motivation for me. So, like, looking at all that, and I'm like, if I can get through this, I can get through anything in life. And I don't like to brag about it, because, like, everybody goes through something. You know, we all went through tough times. Nobody got it easy. But I don't think a lot of people could get through what I went through. And to me, to be back on top where I want to be and see the fans still want me to play, having support from my hometown, this support period means a lot. And it's a time where I had to go find a therapist. You know, a lot of people think I don't need help. I can get through it at any time. But you got to be true to yourself and find out what's best for you. And I did that.
LeSean Shady McQuaid, quick answer right here. Why, you know, for 2 to 3 years, John Wall was beat up by the media, you know, different reporters. Why do we have to hear about something like this going on in athletes' light to almost humanize them?
I mean, we are human. Like,
yeah,
he lost his mom, right? He lost his grandma, and then he tears Achilles. You know, we use sports to kind of cope with everything, right? They get us over everything, and then boom, they take it away, and he tears his Achilles. So now he can't even play. So I can understand that, man, and I pray for players like him and other players that go through things.
Yeah, for sure. Auntie, quick answer. Like, again, he was beat up by the media. I mean, why does a player have to come out and say he was dealing with this for, you know, people to almost treat him like a human?
I don't even think the focus should be on the fact that he thought about suicide. You know, I think that, and that's the media. Like, we focus on that. Oh my God, this is this professional athlete who's contemplated suicide, and you know, a lot of professional athletes have that. They don't understand the pressure that professional athletes are under. But I think most of the attention should be on the fact that he was strong enough to get through it. And we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the good. We only talk about the bad. And so, you know, I just commend him for getting through it. That's tough, right? You know, I've lost my mom. You know, I've had cancer, and you know, I've had those thoughts, and it's about whether you can get through them despite what everything is going on, and hopefully he can come back and be the player he was, and I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a different type of strength to come out and admit that you're going through something. But then, like you said, Auntie, to also get through it and fight through that adversity.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM podcasts.